You were muted again. My bad. What's
All
up?
good. It's all good.
West Coast Wednesday, you got that winning feeling?
Oh yeah. I'm excited. My Dodgers won.
I
We've been
mean,
waiting for this for three times.
you're having a great COVID sports life right now.
I sure am. It's a great life too, and it's a great feeling. Well, it's a good feeling. I mean, I'm not gonna say it's great because we publicly can't celebrate like we want to. There's no parades, there's no, you know what I mean?
Right.
But I'll take it
Well,
for what it
they were
is.
trying last night, that's for sure.
Well, they was gonna do what they were gonna do anyway, but it wasn't a parade. You feel me? Like it
No,
wasn't an
yeah.
actual parade. That's what I'm looking to see. I want to see, you know, them ride by the bus with the guys up top and us popping champagne and
Oh, you
going
brought the bottle
crazy. Yeah, I brought
out.
my bottle out. Yeah,
Hey.
so welcome everybody, Girl Chat Sports on a Wednesday. Wednesday vibes on the West Coast is the best coast always, and you're talking to Mo and Mel. Hopefully, you
Yes.
joined us in the chat. I'm totally elated about my Dodgers winning the World Series after numerous attempts, three attempts in most recent times, that we get to the big dance and we can never close. So I'm super duper excited that we closed last night. I predicted Dodgers in six. It came into fruition. I was like, that's what it's gonna be, and that's what happened. Because you know, they're trying to wait on like, you know, game seven, try to use Walker Buehler, who's one of our ace pitchers, but we didn't need him.
It made it
Julio
happen.
Urias took, yeah, Julio Urias took care of it. You know, he made it happen. He made it happen. So he closed us out, got all those outs, and hey, it was a low scoring game. But guess what? I'll take that win. I don't care.
That's all that matters.
Because it was one run in for a lot of innings, man. It really was. So we're going to
Shout out
talk
to
about it more.
everybody that's tuning in right now.
Oh,
Jose,
yeah,
appreciate
chat.
it. Les, what's up,
Hey,
Nate?
Les, you know what it is here. I got to make the sign. I'm going to make the sign when Harry comes on. You know, the
The
L and the
new,
A. The L and the A. That's
yeah.
it. The L and the A. Wait, hold on. Let me put it. Yep. The L and the A. Thanks for everybody repping the L and the A coming in on the chat right now. Les, Jose, you know, all my Laker fans, Dodger fans. We got one that's joining us tonight. He's not necessarily Lakers all the way, but he respects them, but he's definitely Dodgers. He's definitely Raiders. And I'm so excited to chat with someone that is not so much
Shares your
Cowboys,
passion.
shares my passion, not so much Cowboys related or Seahawks related or both related. I sorry, this is our time.
It's
We're in the
okay.
winner circle.
It's all
We're gonna be
right.
obnoxious like this, Mel. I'm just giving you a heads up. Us Laker fans and Dodger fans are probably gonna be pretty obnoxious for this whole season. So get
I'm not
everybody
mad
out
at
there
you. You
for
guys deserve that. You guys deserve that. You had that. You've had this is your shot. And I hadn't realized it had been. You've been there 3 times in the last 4 years. I mean, I didn't really
it.
take that note. You know, I hadn't really understood, but yeah,
Yeah.
so.
Man. 2018 was our last face off with Mookie Betts when he was with the Red Sox and they beat us. And now he joined our side and got a
Now he's
second
on the team.
championship. Now, yeah. Now he's on
But
the team.
welcome, you guys. If you are tuning in, make sure you hit that share button. Go ahead and
Please
subscribe
do.
if you're watching on YouTube. If you're on Twitter, hit the retweet and make sure you share with your friends. We appreciate you joining in. We've got a great guest that's coming up, and we're going to
Yes.
get him on early because I know Mo can't wait to talk about her boys in blue with him. But one of our favorite people out here in Las Vegas that we've met, and we can't wait to talk to him. So please welcome Harry Ruiz.
Yes.
What's
Look,
up,
Harry.
Mel? What's up,
What's up?
Mo?
What's up? Represent. Yes. Yes.
Dodgers, baby. Dodgers. It's
Dodgers,
about
Dodgers.
time.
That's about damn time. That is like the mantra for me. Now, Harry, let me ask you something because the last World Series they won was back in 88. How world old were you at that time when they
Two
won that
months
World Series?
old.
2 months. Are you serious?
I'm serious. I'm
Come
32
on.
years old. So I was born August 15th, 1988. They won the World Series in October 2020. So I was 2 months old. And funny story, I was talking with my mom today, and she was like, "By the way, when your grandpa came into town in 88, he wanted to go watch Fernando pitch. So I went to the game pregnant with you to watch the Dodgers." And she was like, "You were there that season." I was like, "Yeah, I was alive. That's the cool part. Now I've been alive for two championships, but this one for sure, I now remember it."
Oh yeah, and it's going to be a monumental one. I think that no one will forget. I won't say my age, but I definitely was old enough to recognize what was going on. Just couldn't celebrate the way I wanted to legally. Now I can. Now I legally. Can. Yes, legally. Now I can.
Should have gone to Tijuana.
I don't know. At 13 years old, I don't know if I could have made it down there. I think they would have raised some questions. But I still was no acknowledging of Dodgers. Hey. Knew who they were. Knew the championship was, the World Series was there. Knew they won. Same year as the Lakers. You know, so it was just a double whammy like we've got now. And then what a better month than my birthday month. I was born in October as well.
There you go.
So we got two winners going on in our birthdays. You couldn't ask for anything better.
88, you had Showtime and Fernando Mania. Yep. Towards the last couple of years with the Bulldog Hershiser being the man more at the top of that rotation. And now you got LeBron. And you got, of course, Corey and Kershaw leading our Dodgers.
Yes.
We'll have and to Kershaw. Get that story.
Yes, we will. Story. And Harry, tell us a little bit. I know you're from LA area, but what gave you your affinity love for Dodgers? And now I'm about to say it just because your mom at this point, because you're so influenced with kind of almost being there.
So here's a funny story. My parents aren't sports fans. My mom doesn't like sports much. She watches sports now because every Raider game, she's now listening live to my broadcast. She watches the Dodgers because she knows I go crazy when they win. But my parents don't like sports much. And I started watching and falling in love with sports because I started playing video games. So I would always pick the Los Angeles teams, and that's how I ended up falling in love. My first favorite Laker was Nick Van Exel.
Oh, yeah.
That Eddie Jones team, Cedric Ceballos, Eldon Campbell, Vlade Divac. It's like that was my first Laker team because that was my first video game with the Lakers. And then I started getting the Dodgers with Mondesi, with Carlos, with Hideo Nomo. It's like all those guys. So I just started falling in love with sports because of the video games. And then I started watching on TV, and I'm like, hey, it's LA. I got to represent my teams. And that's the cool part about being a Dodgers fan. It's like, you can't say that I was a Dodger fan because we won 10 titles in 30 years. It's like, no, we had zero in 31. And now this 32nd season, we finally got another one. So, but I'm a history nut. So I like, I'm not in history about everything going on in the world, but sports related. So
sports history. Yeah. Yeah.
I love researching everything I can about my teams. And I've been able to meet a lot of the players, former players, Tommy Lasorda, Hershiser, Mari Wills, Don Newcomb, rest in peace. Recently passed away, Tommy Davis as well. Rest in peace. So it's cool. I was a season ticket holder for a while for the Dodgers. So that's how I went from being a fan to being a diehard fan, to being my team, and I feel it more than the other guys.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you something. My influence of loving the Dodgers came from my great uncle who used to sit out on his carport out here and listen to the Dodgers on radio. He'd actually listen to play-by-play, not watching it, but listening, and with a Budweiser in his hand. So it's like every time I got home from school, I'd always go over to my great-grandmother, my great-uncle at that time, their house.
Of course.
And that's what his first thing would be. He's like, hey, and then you'd hear him listening to the Dodgers. That was his thing because the history of Jackie Robinson leaving the Negro Leagues and being the first to integrate into Major League Baseball, I mean, that has a historic connotation to it as well, even though we were Brooklyn Dodgers at the time. But L.A., Dodgers, we're all one. So that history is there. And then that way, that's how he got connected to it. And that's how I grew to love it. And as a matter of fact, his hat is a replica of this hat. His original hat is similar to this.
Nice.
And sadly, when he passed, my brother, younger brother, was able to get that hat. So he wears the hat. And it brings us luck. Look at us. World Series. Here we go.
Finally made it. And that's the cool part. So I went to vote today. I dropped off my ballot at the voting center. And as I was walking out, people were clapping at me because I was wearing my Dodger gear. And then the last lady all the way at the end, she was like, I'm a Dodger fan, but a Brooklyn Dodger fan. I'm like, hey, it's all love.
It's
Jackie Robinson. It's Duke Snyder. It's Gil Hodges. It's Walter Alston. It's like, it's all love. We're all one franchise. It's our sixth title. We only want one in Brooklyn, but hey, we got number six now in L.A.
Right. And I'm counting it all as seven because I'm adding what the championships mean and the significance of us winning, because I feel like, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant and Gianna had a lot to do with that. So we've got the seven championships with us, 17 with the Lakers, 7 plus 17 equals 24. Hey. So I got Kobe all through that, who was also, you know, a beloved Dodger fan and respected, especially with congratulations, Magic Johnson, being, you know, a
first he's having an epic year
winning on everything. You know, he's had a championship with WNBA. He's had a championship with NBA. Now he's got a championship with MLB. I mean, it's a trifecta trinity thing that he's got going on, and I got to give him his props.
I need Mark Davis to sell part of the Raiders to Magic Johnson. That way we can get another championship also with the with Magic being the magic person bringing us what we need.
Who are you telling? Who are you telling on this? I mean, all day. We were going to talk about Raiders in a minute and talk about your show and how you just basically made Vegas history doing what you're doing with your show and having the Raiders here. I just think that's so awesome. But with the Dodgers, how great does it feel that we won this and we're missing some people that were really loyal to the team that unfortunately got traded? Like Matt Kemp is one that I would say you'll forever be a Dodger. I'm not sure about Manny Machado, because when Machado came in, he was replacing Corey Seager on injury, so we traded him out. So yeah, we don't talk Machado, because Machado got that big money and then he started talking mess about our team. So
yeah.
But is there any ones that we had formerly? I'm a big Sandy Koufax person. I like Sandy too. That was like,
yeah, but Sandy, hey, but Sandy got his rings, so
he did.
I posted a tweet last night right before the game ended when we got that insurance run with the Mookie home run, and I posted I was like, yeah, so for Matt, for Andre, for Russell, Yasiel, Kenta, Ryu, Adrian Gonzalez, AJ, D. Gordon, Donnie Baseball, Rick Honeycutt, it's like all those guys that in the last decade, they were huge to get us to this point that they weren't able to win the World Series with us. Well, this was a part of this World Series is for them, but mostly for me, I'm a huge Clayton Kershaw fan. Like to this day, he's my favorite pitcher. Matt Kemp is still my favorite player. I got a special bond with
Kemp.
Him.
No, you know, I love Kemp.
But Kershaw is my favorite pitcher. I know Buehler is our ace now, but Kershaw, I wanted him to win the MVP so bad, but Corey Seager was a monster.
I mean, he was batting 400. To give it to him. They had to. It was no contest with that. Now, you didn't mention one that really brought us through a little bit a couple times on Clutch, and that's Zach Greinke.
Oh, no. He was never a Dodger. He went to the Astros.
He's not a Dodger. No.
And not even because he's an Astro. He was a selfish guy. And it's, I mean, he has his own battles that he fights in his head as well, but he was never a Dodger. Like, yeah, we were paying him. But in his mind, he was like, hey, I'll go wherever I get paid the most. And I never felt him have the connection that other players do with the Dodger fans. So,
okay, gotcha.
I mean, he played for us. He did well with us. But he was never on the level of Kershaw that I can tell you. So I was a season ticket holder from 2011 through 2016. Of course, the year that I didn't renew my season tickets, they ended up going to the World Series. So thanks, guys. Right. But they would let season ticket holders enter for batting practice. And the guys would be awesome with season ticket holders. They would take pictures. They would sign autographs. And that's why I felt an even better bond with these guys. So the Lakers, of course, they're top of the line in LA. Right. And if you get a high five by them walking through the tunnel, that's like the most you're gonna get. But same thing, like Raiders, it's a little bit tougher as well. But the Dodgers, they always felt like the team of the people, and they play 81 games a year in LA, and there's a chance for 50,000 people to go in the stadium and cheer for them. So they're the team of the people. So that's why I felt it that way. And Greinke, he never loved the people. So
I never knew.
You Dodger fans now, do you feel that Mookie was the changing factor for this year? Because you guys have been in it for three times the last 4 years, not coming out with a championship. This year you've acquired one of the, you know, hottest players that came to the team, it seemed like. Do you feel like he's the cherry on top that made this whole thing happen?
Absolutely. I think he was. I mean, I think the trifecta would have been if David Price had played too, because that wasn't a bad acquisition to get both of them, in my opinion. We faced Mookie before. We faced him back in 2018. We talked about this on the show. I told you then how much of a juggernaut he was for the Boston Red Sox and how he owned us in that World Series that we lost. And the fact that we got him and the fact that they let him go was just even astounding, because I knew when Mookie was coming with David Price, I said, oh, we're going to get definitely, this is just going to bowl us over even more. That was my attitude towards it. And when David Price decided to opt out due to COVID, I was like, yeah, it's okay. You know, because we got a bullpen like no other. We've got pitchers on pitchers on pitchers. And we got strong hitters. A couple of them are coming up free agency. We can talk about it. But I thought with Mookie coming, he wasn't going to slack off. He wasn't going to be that guy that was going to be pompous with the attitude of, oh, I was a Red Sox and I beat you guys. No, he welcomed us. He became a Dodger the minute he signed that contract and put that uniform on, and he's been a Dodger ever since. And to me, I forget that he was even a Red Sox, to be honest with you. I claim him as Dodgers all day. I don't know about you, Harry, but that was my take on it.
So Mookie was definitely the missing piece of the puzzle to be able to get to this World Series. He was the difference maker in a lot of these games. Like, you go back to game 5 of the NLCS, the shoestring catch that he made, and then throw out Marcell Ozuna. Or, well, he didn't throw him out. Ozuna threw himself out by stepping off of third before the catch. But there were so many great catches that he made. The running on the bases was incredible, like someone I'd never seen before. And that's one thing. As a Dodger fan, I watch Dodger games, and that's it. And especially, I'm not tuning in at 4 o'clock to watch Red Sox games. So I knew Mookie was a monster, that he was an MVP, that it was between him and Trout to be the two best players in baseball. But I would never see him play much. So now that I got to see him play from when the exhibition game started in back in, what was it, August?
Yeah, it was late August.
Around there, yeah. So when they started playing the exhibition games between themselves and then against the D-backs, and I started watching him on the field, I'm like, hey, this guy's good. And then regular season started, I was like, damn, this guy's a man. He's the MVP of this short season. And then in the playoffs, I'm like, in year one, he put us over the top. He got us this world championship, and we got 11 more years of Mookie Betts and the Dodgers. So
we sure do.
It's a dream come true having a player like that. And, of course, the best part is people love talking trash about the Dodgers because we got the second highest payroll in all of MLB. But it is because we pay our players that we grew in our farm system. We got a guy like Corey Seager, like Cody Bellinger, like Bueller, like Kershaw. And I can keep going on and on and on. Half of our 28-man roster in the World Series were homegrown guys. Nice. And that's the difference with the Dodgers right now. It's like we brought in the piece that was missing. 6 years ago, we thought it was Zach Greinke. It wasn't Zach Greinke, the missing piece. It was a right fielder that was going to provide leadership, which was the most important part, but also power, speed. He's a five-tool player, so props to Mookie. I bought a Mookie jersey like a month into the season. I'm like, I need this guy, man. I need this jersey in my collection.
You have to. It's a must. And the thing of it is he puts me in the mind because no other player like him can even attempt to steal the bases as fast. When we had D. Gordon was our base stealer. He was that guy that would steal the bases really quickly. But since he's no longer with us, we have Mookie. And I was like, oh, my God, he even does D. Gordon moves. We need him stealing bases. Like, he can do it and get away with it. And it's like, guy is just all time.
And we would struggle to get Mookie on base. So that was a problem. It's like, he was our leadoff guy. He was our speed guy. But heck, we would get lucky if he'd get a hit here and there or there. If we got him on base once per game, we were happy. Mookie's a guy he's either going to walk, get a hit, get a home run, and rarely strike out. This World Series was kind of weird for him, but he still got it done when he was on the bases.
Now, tell me about your experience, because prior to the World Series, you went to the NLCS, and I believe you had gone to Game 2 against the Braves. Was it Game 2 or Game 3? Which one did you attend?
Games 4 and 5.
Oh, Game 4 and 5. Oh, later on. Okay, so you got to the clutch moments. Explain how that was, what that experience was like. I was very curious to know what the take was, what the vibe was, and your game outlook at that point.
Yeah, so it was the Raiders bye week, so it was a perfect opportunity to be able to head out there and have a couple of days off and watch the Dodgers. Right before the NLDS against the Padres started, me and some friends from El Paso, we spoke about, hey, let's get tickets. Let's see if our boys make it, we'll make the trip. And we ended up making it. I had flights. We had hotels. It's like, all right, let's go. We knew that it was our year. So we were like, all right, we need to see our guys play live during the 2020 pandemic season. It was weird. Super short lines. I mean, it's as a fan who used to go into Dodger Stadium 3 hours before the game and then struggle with traffic and everything, it was only less than 20% capacity. So in the section that we were at, they would sit two groups of people in one row mm-hmm. both in the opposite sides of the section. And then the next row was empty. And then the next row, you would have two groups of four. And it was weird. You would only interact mostly with your group. The first day, the security guy that was there, he was super chill about the mask situation. Like, if we were drinking water or food, he wouldn't say anything. But the next day, the guy was like, we literally had, like, our bottle of water right here. The guy's like, hey, your mask. It's like, dude, I'm drinking water. What do you right. want me to do? But at the end of the day, that's what we should be doing. We should be wearing our mask most of the time. But it was a cool experience. I wanted to watch my Dodgers play. I'm honest. I only pay to watch my teams play. Like, if I'm in Seattle and the Mariners are playing the Angels, you're I ain't gonna pay to go. Right, yeah, I'm right, not right. going. Like, but if it's the Mariners against the Dodgers,
yeah,
I'll pay to get in there. So
right.
it was a cool experience. It was different. It was weird. And I could say that I watched my Dodgers play in the World Series.
Did you hear the crowd ambient noise? Was there any ambient noise? Because we hear ambient noise all day through the TV. So what was piping through the stadium?
No, they weren't piping any noise. It was just the noise that the fans were... that the fans were making. And against the Braves, it was more like a 50-50 split. There were a lot of Braves fans. There were a lot of Dodger fans. But then I got friends that went out to the World Series, and it was like, dude, it was a LA invasion. It was 90-10 tops. So,
yeah,
that was cool. Was no, they weren't having any noise, though.
Yeah, because it's curious about that. That's got
to be
weird
for the players, too, to just be kind of in like this – super, you know, quiet stadium where you're used to all the noise. And I don't know, I still can't fathom that. It seems so odd.
I mean, they were still playing their walk-on music and stuff like that, right? Would they still do stuff like that or no?
So for games 1 and 2 plus 6 and 7, they were Dodger home games. So they would put the walkout music for the Dodgers, the pitchers coming out of the bullpen and all that. But then games 3, 4, and 5 that right. were the Braves home games and the Rays home games, they would use the Braves music. And then in between innings, they would put Braves videos on the scoreboard and all that kind of stuff because it was their home game. And
right.
my friends were pissed off. It's like, why are they all supporting the Braves? I'm like, it's their home game. That's why. It yeah. makes sense.
And we were wearing the road grays, which is the dopest kind of colorway jersey, by the way, I might add on a fashion standpoint.
But so
road
just, grays for the Dodgers look amazing. I'm just pissed that they went from Los Angeles to Dodgers on the gray jerseys.
Yeah. A lot of people are looking for, like, my brother owns a couple with the Los Angeles with the road gray and stuff. And those are really nice. Yeah, they do look better. But I don't know why they changed over. I have no idea. Maybe they'll go back to that. Maybe next season it'll rotate. Who knows?
Or maybe they keep these because they won the World Series with these.
Yeah, that's true. It might be good luck. And, you know, honestly, I do predict us going back to another World Series.
We're going to win two more in the next 3 years. We're going to win two more in the next 3 years.
Check it out. I'm sure about that. They've already put it on the sports book that the Dodgers are expected to win the World Series next season. But, you know, like I said, you have free agency coming up. I think Corey Seager's on the block, but, you know, you got to pay that man. Not yet? Is he a season
up next? No, I think he's got one more year. But
who's this season? Is it Belly?
JT.
Oh,
JT,
Justin Turner for sure.
PK, Trinan. So those guys, I think we still got Seager one more year under arbitration, but
okay,
we're going to pay Seager. Yeah, we're not going to let him go after his best year in the Dodgers. Right. Of course, we're going
to
keep
Mr. MVP. Of course,
we have to.
And well, girls, so I haven't told anybody about this, but I put $50 on Corey Seager winning the MVP of the regular season before the season started at plus 4,000.
What?
The problem is he won the MVP for the National League Championship Series and the World Series. And that doesn't count. So the regular season MVP, more than likely, it's going to be Mookie Betts. So I'm like,
man. That'd be some good money.
It
would have been great money.
Yeah.
But now it's like, when I saw Corey was a long shot, I'm like, you know what? They're all sleeping on Corey. I'm going to put some money on him just in case. Yeah. And he had a great season. The problem was the guy in front of him in the lineup was even better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, would you change anything in that batting order? Because some days I was like, okay, I don't think Mookie should be the leadoff person. I think they should kind of change it. But you thought it was a great batting order?
So the first week and a half of the season, we had Max Muncy as a leadoff guy, and he was awful in that position. He had never been a leadoff hitter. And then Mookie just went to Dave Roberts because Mookie was a leadoff guy in Boston, and he was like, hey, man, I want to bite leadoff. Let me do it. They switched them in the batting order, and he was great at leadoff, so they just left him there. So, to be honest, I trust Dave Roberts. I've gone through a lot of stuff with him and liking and not liking what he does. And now I'm like, you know what? He's our manager. If I get mad at something he does, well, I'm just going to get mad at it and nothing's going to happen. So just lead us to the promised land. And now he's just the third manager in Dodgers history to lead the Dodgers through the World Series. So.
Yeah, before Lasorda or after Lasorda. And speaking of managers, by the way, let's talk about what happened with Blake Snell.
Ooh.
And let's talk about Casey Cash doing what he did. By pulling him in the sixth inning. Normally, pitchers pitch to sixth inning. Sometimes they can go a little longer, but the sixth is really where it ends.
But after like nine strikeouts and only the two, I mean, he was doing phenomenal.
Yeah, he only pitched 75 balls. It wasn't like he pitched over 100 balls. He did over about 75 balls.
Yeah, I still couldn't think of why. I mean, I'm sure the manager has his own reasons. I just personally couldn't think. And then the stab in the back is right when you pull him out, then the other team scores.
Well, I knew that was going to happen. They have no other pitchers. What other pitchers in their bullpen do they have? I knew that was going to happen. I said as soon as they pull him, because that was their ace for this game. But if we went to a game seven, they would have lost anyway because we would have had Walker Buehler and they would have had Bupkis. So, again, they used their ace in game six. We chose not to. We had. And pulling him at six, I thought it was kind of crucial. It looked like he was going to cry. He was that upset.
He was pissed.
Because he was hot. But he hit off. Once you were striking them out, and then you got a player on base. That always is a red flag. Because we're in the sixth inning now. So now your arm is starting to show wear. Because you were striking them out, no one was getting base hits like that. Now you're getting single on with no outs. That's a problem.
So the deal there, same thing when they were playing the Yankees, like they were pulling them super early in the games. With Blake Snell, the first time that he faces the lineup, he had the batters had an average of under 0.130 against him in the playoffs and the regular season. But then once he faced them the second time around and the third time around, they were batting over 300 against them. So the manager, Cash, he was like, you know what? I got to play it by the book. And they got to him. Mookie's going to get to him. So I got to switch him. So that was their thinking. Yeah. And that's like what you see on the field, when you see someone dealing like he was, you got to keep them. But at the same time, Mo, we're Dodger fans.
Yeah.
What has happened in the past with Clayton Kershaw?
Right.
They leave him too long.
He gets rocked. Yep, exactly. So that's the thing that you have to look at. And Cash is not having any regrets for pulling him, no matter how many tweet threats he gets and stuff, because sadly, Kenley Jansen was getting the same type of smoke, but even worse.
Poor managers, it's a lose-lose situation.
It's a crapshoot. You just don't know, you know?
Yeah, like if he had kept them in there, but then Mookie hit the double off of him, all the fans would have been like, dude, you should have taken him out. Why did you take him out? He takes him out and it's like, dude, what the hell? So
he's hot. No.
Yeah, it's the life. That's why they pay them millions. It's like, All right, it's going to suck at times when people talk trash at you, but hey, at least you got a nice house and a nice car.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys, if you're listening right now, you're listening to Girl Chat Sports. We're here with Harry Weiss, and we are talking the Dodgers World Series, as well as some football coming up as well. But before we leave the Dodgers and World Series, what's your guys' take on the whole Justin Tucker, Turner, sorry, yeah. Yes,
no,
sorry. His whole situation?
Return. Harry, you want to take this one? Because I have things, but it's like, it's crazy.
So look, you can take both sides. You can be devil's advocate. You can also say it as it is. He shouldn't have been out there. If a player tested positive, you're risking the other players. But at the same time, his teammates wanted him out there. He's been with the team for 6-7 years now. He's one of our emotional leaders. He was a guy that he arrived after being tossed to the curb by the New York Mets. The Dodgers picked him up just as a free agent, and he became one of our leaders, and he earned a 4-year contract that paid him $16 million per year off of his hard work. This is his last year. It might have been his last game. And he said that he was frustrated being just quarantined, just being restricted, and he wanted to go out there and take a picture. And that's – if you see the video, he walked out there. He just sat in the front, and once they were about to take the picture – he put his mask down to take the picture, and then he put the mask back up. And the rest of the guys, they knew that he had tested positive. So if anybody hugged them, They did so knowing that he had tested positive, but they wanted to hug him. It's a moment that they'd been waiting for so long. The Dodgers as a fan base, 32 years, but for a player waiting 7 years in the same franchise, going to the division, winning the division every single year, and always being one step short, a couple of steps short, he wanted to be out there. It was the moment got stolen from him. And what I don't understand is how did a player test positive inside the bubble?
Well, how did he test positive twice and still get to play? He tested positive twice throughout that day and was still
it was a false positive or inconclusive.
It was inconclusive. So the one from the day before came back as inconclusive.
Right.
So they tested him earlier in the morning, and that was the one that once the first one came as inconclusive, they rapid tested it. And the moment they found out that he had tested positive, they pulled him from
the game. But how would he even be on the field if you're still having a lingering? I mean, any other sport, we haven't seen that where you can test and then just kind of still play until they tell you.
Well, yeah, that's the only thing that's different with it, I think.
Yeah, no, the problem with baseball, because NBA, they didn't test any, and they didn't have any positive tests since they started the bubble. The problem with baseball is that they play almost every single day. Yeah. So they literally had the test done. So today, what is it, Wednesday? So they tested him Monday. That test came back in the second inning as inconclusive. So they rapid tested the second one, the one from the day of the game. And the moment they got that result, they pulled him from the game. They didn't know he was positive. It didn't come back as positive. It just came back as inconclusive. If it had tested positive, no way he would have played. And probably the game might have not even been played.
And my thing is, he was already out there with the guys. Yeah. He'd been out there for a cool first before seven innings, interacting already with these players with a positive status.
Yeah.
And mind you, that was, you know, from the time that they took the test. So he was already, the infestation has already occurred.
So the good thing about baseball is that you don't have to tell guys to social distance. You got a guy in second base, a guy third base, a guy first base, shortstop, outfield. They're already social distancing. So the time that they're in close contact with someone else is very limited. So
in the dugout and when they're with the first base coach or second base coach or third base coach, you know, you're still interacting with folks, but he is already there.
Right? Yeah, so but it's not.
And then him to come back, it's like, well, he was already there out.
Before, yeah, but it's not like hoops or football that it's a contact sport where you're literally checking down a player, you're tackling someone, you're on top of them, you're pushing them. It's a little bit different. I'm not saying that it was right that he went out there. I understand the reason why he went out there. And now what I'm afraid of is that the Dodgers are going to get penalized worse than the Astros for cheating.
So, well, they're investigating it currently, and we'll see what Manfred has to say. You know,
I mean, I feel like as commissioner, I think it's fine that he went back out. And this was, like you said, a momentous occasion. He spent his whole, you know, he spent his career here with the struggles. He deserves to be back out there. And he had his mask on. He took it off for the picture. He put it back on and left. And that, you know, and that, as far as we can see, we don't know. We weren't necessarily
there. He was already there, though, Mel. That's the thing. Like, it wasn't like he was gone the whole game. Like, he was already out interacting with these guys. He was already high-fiving when homers were done in the third inning. So you were already in close contact and proximity with everybody. Right,
now, but when the celebration happened, everybody's families came down. His came down. So you're thinking about, you went from the team and the teammates, so now you've got families interacting. Who knows where they got to go after this?
And the kids.
It was just a little choppy. He deserved to be out there to take that picture because he should be in it. But at the same time, as you got to think about, you know, sticking safe. Like, I don't know how long he was out there for. I saw him with his wife and his kid out there. I don't know how much they interact with everybody else. It's just, you know, it's sad.
Well, security tried to stop him and they wouldn't. And he just would dismiss it. Like, security really literally was like, hey, we cannot let you out here. And he insisted upon it, like almost not forcefully, but it was just kind of one of those things like, just let him go out there.
I mean,
he was told he could not go. And they were trying to stop him and tell him, no, he can't go. So they're looking more into the investigation of Turner as opposed to the league. It's now about Turner's discipline is what is being investigated on what went down with that. Because him coming out for the photo was all right, but it was the fact of how he came out for the photo. And I think that whole thing when he was told not to is where they're looking at.
So here's the funny part, ladies. The moment that Julio Urías threw the last pitch of the game, Justin Turner was not a Dodgers player anymore. The season had ended. He's a free agent now. So...
That's a loophole. That
could also be a little loophole that the Dodgers could be like, hey, I mean, he was a free agent by then.
He just
like,
hey, that's a loophole.
Yeah, you're right. You're like, hey, he just kind of just showed up. Yeah, that's the loophole. You're absolutely right to that.
Even if you're still wearing the jersey, huh?
It's interesting. But what I have to say about people, and then when they take these tests and they take these and say, oh, my test came back positive or negative, and it was been a week. It's only that test for the status of when you took it. So you can still get COVID within the week that you're waiting for results. And people, I don't think, understand that. And I'm not going to get too hard on Justin Turner when I still see people out gallivanting, not social distancing. We're having casino openings and you're seeing how that looks. And you're still normalizing something that to me is not normal. So until we actually know it's not something normal, know that it's something we have to take seriously, and you keep opening things and doing things socially, it's always going to be a mystique around it of you're around, but it's going to be okay. Because that's a lot of perception of people like, oh, we're going to gather. Nothing's happening. Our cases, yeah, we have cases, but very little deaths. And like, like one death is like,
I think for me, you know what I mean? I think for me, it's more like, okay, it's like, yeah, it's like the flu. We're getting it, a lot of high numbers. You know, people aren't necessarily dying at the crazy rate that maybe some others may think, but we don't know what the long-term effects, like flu, we know. The flu, we know, you get sick, you get over it, you might have it again next year. Like, it just keeps happening because it's the flu, we all know. But we don't know.
Take a couple days off from work and you're good.
Right.
You know, take some Theraflu, lay in bed, sleep. But we don't know the long-term effects of COVID, like how there's the NBA players that still couldn't taste or smell. Like, there's people that are supposedly having other issues. And this is only the first, this is only within the first like 6 months and 8 months that we're dealing with it. What happens next year if someone that had it this year maybe has other issues now? I think that's the issue. I'm not saying that don't catch it because you're going to die. I'm saying don't catch it because we still don't know who it's affecting and how it's going to affect you.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree with you. But the thing of it is at the same time, who wants to go through that process to find out? If everybody is telling me their bad experiences when they get COVID, be it a coworker sharing me what it felt like, why would you want to put yourself in through that anyway? Like, I don't want to go through that. I'm trying to stay away my doggone self because I don't even want to go through it. So it's even that kind of avoidance. But if you keep normalizing stuff and thinking that it's just something that's nothing, then you're going to see things of these kind of behaviors going on because they're not treating it like it's a big deal.
And it should be interesting with holiday travel coming up. So,
oh gosh, I'm not, I can't.
Yeah, that's the thing. I don't see what Justin did as a political statement or anything. Right. I just see it as something like, dude, he has been trying to win a World Series for so long. How many great players have gone through all their career without winning a single ring?
Yeah.
And he finally won that ring. And unfortunately, the timing was terrible. I mean, that's when I'm thinking like, God damn it, why didn't we win it in five games? Nothing like this wouldn't have come out. It's crazy.
Could you imagine they cancel a game seven, postpone it for 2 weeks, and then we have to try to start all over again and we end up losing the World Series? Like,
or if they say it's a tie. I'm
Yeah, we ended with a draw. We just don't resume this. So, like, that would have been crazy.
So I hate this, that at the end of the game, it wasn't about, hell yeah, Dodgers won the World Series. Right. It's no, Justin tested positive, and he was out there with his teammates.
I had people texting me about it. Do you know you're on a high, and people texting you like, but what about Justin Turner? Da, da, da. I'm celebrating right now. we'll cross that road when we get
there. Don't mess with Mo on her win. Just say congratulations and move it on.
Keep it pushing. Like, I understand, and it's like a shock, and everybody wants to conversate about like, well, but this and that. I'm celebrating right now. Can I just absorb the win that we have not had in so long and let me have my moment?
Right.
You know, and I don't want that kind of thing to tarnish us or feel like it's a stain, because it's still not. It's not at the end of the day.
So here you go.
Legitimately,
there's been players using PEDs. There's been players cheating in the game and won the World Series. The controversy with us is that one of our players was sick. It's like, come on. I would give him even more credit. He won the World Series while having COVID.
Right. Right. How about that?
Yeah.
I mean,
I wish he hadn't had COVID, but
But it happened.
And he said he feels fine. He says he feels fine. He said he felt, didn't show any signs or symptoms or anything. He tweeted that. He appreciated the fans' concerns. But he said at that moment he was feeling fine. And he could have been on a high of this win. I mean, who wouldn't be? Kershaw has waited 13 years, born and raised LA Dodger, and now finally gets a world championship.
Yeah, shout out to Brian. He says Harry has some victory videos. So here's the deal. I'll only post those victory videos if I get to 200 likes on my post on Instagram. So go follow me, Harry. Harry underscore Ruiz on Instagram. Harry underscore Ruiz. It's pretty easy. So yeah, Brian and myself, we watched game 6 together yesterday, and we watched game 7 of the NLCS and game 1 of the World Series as well. So, and cool stat, with the Dodgers went 3-0 when we watched the games together.
All right. Well, you were our good luck charms. Yes, you were. And then you had the right jersey on yesterday and you got the good one on today. So you're doing it. So let's talk about our Raiders real quick. You got a great radio show. You have basically broken ground on this. This is probably the only thing that you're doing that's going on in Vegas as far as radio shows. It's making history with the Las Vegas Raiders franchise. Let's talk about your radio show on 1460, it is, right?
So it's the official Spanish broadcast of the Raiders Radio Network. Every game day, we're on the air an hour pregame, 3 hours during the game, and then an hour postgame. And it's not only here in Vegas, but you can listen to us in L.A., San Diego, Bay Area, Fresno, Bakersfield, and I'm pretty sure I'm missing a city or two over there, plus also over here in Reno and Nevada, and worldwide online. So what we are is that we're the bridge that connects the Raider Nation with the Raiders in Spanish. The Hispanic community loves the Raiders. The Raiders love the Hispanic community. So it's an honor for me to be a part of this, the first ever Spanish broadcast crew in Las Vegas Raiders history.
Yes. Well, I think what makes it special is I think all of us, you know, have really been in tune with sometimes with how the Spanish commentators are for soccer games. And I feel like listening to some of the clips that I've listened to you guys do, it's almost like you're putting that same kind of like the vibration and the excitement and into the Raiders games that we don't usually hear necessarily from the commentators that we listen to on air.
Yeah. And Brent Musburger and Lincoln Kennedy, they're amazing. They're a great broadcast crew. But we're completely different.
That's okay.
There you go. And even like we go a couple of years back with the Raiders in Oakland, Greg Papa and Tom Flores, that duo was incredible. But always when it's in Spanish, I always say it, everything is better in Spanish. Todo es mejor en español. So we put our own flavor to it and then add that little extra that I'm actually a member of the Raider Nation. I'm a Raiders fan. Like everything I say it with passion when it's about my team. So if I were calling an Arizona Cardinals game, it would definitely not sound the same way because I'd probably be faking being excited about the team scoring a touchdown. So, but with the Raiders, it's genuine. This is my team. This is my squad. In the same way, I was super happy that the Dodgers won the World Series yesterday. I'm going to be 5 times more excited when the Raiders win the Super Bowl. So it's an honor and catches every game day on 1460 AM out here in Vegas.
I love it.
So what are you thinking about the Raiders this season so far?
Right.
So I'm liking it. As a Raider fan, I haven't missed a game in a long, long time. And I've seen a lot of games in recent years where the team was done by the halftime. And every game this season, we've gone into the fourth quarter at least fighting in the games. And a lot of people were tricked by the final score of 45-20 against the Buccaneers, but they didn't see that with 11 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the score was 24-20, and that we had a 3rd-and-13 that we should have stopped the Bucs, but we ended up letting them advance 13 yards in that play, and then they scored a touchdown, and then an interception, another touchdown.
And then Gabe Jackson got out because apparently he stepped on Dominic Sue's shoulder. I mean, I didn't see it. I don't know what the heck it is. And because we're the Raiders, don't you feel like, Harry, like we're the outlaws, that they always do things to us purposely because of who we are? And it feels like we sometimes don't get that fair shake on the end because of our organization, of who we are, what we represent.
So it had been weird. These first 5 games of the season, the refs weren't screwing us over. And I'm like, all right, something's going on. Is it because we moved to Vegas? Is it because we're not in Oakland anymore? What's going on? Why don't we have like 20,000 penalties per game? I'm like, it's weird. But then this game, of course, they ended up ejecting Gabe Jackson because he got pulled from the back by Ndamukong Suh, and apparently he was too heavy, and Suh had to pull real hard to toss him to the floor. It was super, super weird. And that's when I saw that the video that Suh pulled down Jackson, I'm like, he's going to be the ejected one, right? And I was like, no, our guy. Right. Why? It's
like
crazy.
Vontaze Burfict helmet to helmet play all over again. I mean, it's the
same, but you know what? I'd rather have our player be tossed because he hit someone helmet to helmet than just being tossed for nothing. That's what I ended up saying. I was like, heck, he should have thrown a punch. He got ejected. He might as well have done something.
Well, maybe not the fine, though. There probably would have been a little bit heftier fine, maybe, with the punch.
Well, we're already looking for fines already with the whole COVID situation with Trent Brown. And that's what I was going to ask you, Harry, what your take was on that whole Trent Brown situation prior to us playing the Buccaneers. They moved our game from the primetime Sunday night, which was fine because the World Series was on, so I'll take it.
I know, girl.
It was godsend because I was like, that's fine. Let the Seahawks play in the evening. I'm watching the World Series. I'll tap in with them later. But
by the way, heck of a game, though.
But the fact that Gruden was even pushing to have the game just totally postponed to later on in the week or another scheduled day or whatever. What was your take as far as that going down? Us losing Jonathan Abram as guilty by association. Trent Brown not wearing the tracker consistently like he's supposed to and then testing positive. What's your take on that?
That's the deal. You just got to follow the rules. It's like if you go to the convenience store and you're not wearing a mask and they tell you, you got to wear a mask to come in. And you're like, no, I don't have to wear a mask. Why? Because I don't want to. It's like, no, they're actually asking you to do it. So if they ask you to wear a mask, wear a mask. If they ask you to wear a tracer, wear a tracer. If they ask you to have social distancing during team meetings, practice social distancing. So it's just follow the rules. Unfortunately, it seems through NFL Network reports that Brown wasn't following the rules. So a whole offensive line couldn't practice the whole week. Brown had contact with him on Tuesday, so he couldn't play on Sunday. It's just weird. It's weird. But at the end of the day, it is what it is, and it's next man up. And for most of the game, for 50 minutes, we were competitive. Then the last 10, we went downhill.
But I need Aguilar to run routes with Derek Carr. I need him to do some more passing game routes with him because those are catches that he should have been making. And we had plenty of opportunities with him. What's your take on this guy?
So that's the funny part. After his first four catches, he had his first drop in the game. And I'm like, I want to get mad at him, but it's the second pass that he drops in six games as a Raider. So I'm okay. And then after that drop, he had a big catch and he went over 100 yards. So he had five catches, 105 yards, and a touchdown. It's a good stat line. But then he had two more key drops could have changed the story of the game. So I'm going to give him a pass on this one because his track record with the Raiders has been a positive one so far, but we need him to just be to see the video and be like, all right, put some stick him on those gloves or something, but catch those balls.
You got to catch those. Those are easy catches to me, in my opinion, but I'm not out there on the field. I'm just, what do I know? I'm couch coaching right now.
Definitely. But definitely, it was pretty frustrating seeing those drops. Yeah. But then you also see he was the wide receiver that kept us in the game for most of the game as well. So it's a catch 22. It's like,
especially when Josh Jacobs can't have a running game because they neutralized him, you know, and that's the thing that I thought was just amazing about Carr because he's been consistently really good every single week. He's been bringing it. It reminds me of 2016 Carr before the injury, if not to me, a little bit better. So I think next week I'm predicting us beating the Browns. I think we're going to come to Cleveland and it has nothing to do with OBJ being out, sadly, but I do think, that's our game to win, to come back and be 4-3.
Yeah, they got a vulnerable defense, and I'm not talking about Myles Garrett. That dude is a beast, but that defense can be hit. Heck, they lost what? They won 37-34.
Barely.
And I mean, that was Cincinnati, so just imagine.
Yeah, it's practically like the Raiders. Same way with the Raiders. The Raiders, to win, they got to score 34 points or 37 points or 40 points to win because their defense just can't stop their opponents. So the Buccaneers defense is elite. That rush defense is crazy good.
It's very good.
I was reading up on them the whole week and I was like, holy crap, how the heck are we going to run against these? Yeah, I thought the Saints run defense was good. These guys are the best in the league. So, I mean, Josh Jacobs is going to have a a chip on his shoulder after this game. So Cleveland, be ready.
Yeah, he better be, because I need those fantasy points from him this weekend.
Did you win or did you lose this week?
I won one, lost one. So
I'm terrible at all of mine. Yeah. I think I won one out of my five.
But this, you know, this year has been the worst fantasy football. I mean, between injuries, COVID, games delayed, this and that, it's like it never stops. You're always trying to pick up on the waiver wire. Like, there's so many running backs, I don't even know who they are anymore. Cause I'm like, all of them that I've drafted, I'm now recycling a couple, but that's neither here nor there. Yeah, so my game was a little bit of a – I probably –
Your game stressed me out because I picked you guys to win. I would have had a perfect win pick for my pick.
I picked them, too. Shout out to my pick. I mean, and we could have won in overtime with DK's touchdown had, you know, Moore not caused a penalty. Penalties are an issue along with our defense.
Listen, you deserve to lose after you guys got a second chance. When he missed that field goal kick that second time, that's when it should have been game on.
Right.
And to me, it's a fault of Pete Carroll. Your defense is getting very sluggish. They're tired. Why wouldn't you put your secondaries in?
Well, first of all, that's not Pete Carroll's fault. That's our defensive coordinator's
fault.
Well,
he needs to get on deck and do that, because that was wrong. And they brought him in at the last few seconds, and I said, what is this going to do? It does absolutely nothing.
But the fact of the matter is we shouldn't even been in overtime to begin with. I mean, we are – I mean,
we shouldn't have been there. But that's what you guys do. But that's what you guys do sometimes.
We don't do overtime, though, really. Usually it's a fourth quarter comeback and win. That final drive of Russell Wilson's in the fourth quarter was terrible. It was like, here's my deal. Russell's head was not in the game. And it wasn't until Monday that I figured out it was Sierra's birthday on Sunday. So not only did our game switch from an early game to a later game, he couldn't fly back early to be with her on her birthday evening. So not
for
only did
dinner he, and all that
and
stuff.
And you know, Monday she posted this big hoopla of his whole thing he had laid out for her. So all I'm thinking is, by the time fourth quarter comes, he's thinking, how can I get home fast to be just
is that what we're gonna blame it on?
I am. I'm gonna blame it on Sierra this weekend.
Oh wow.
Oh, well, wow. But she might be the reason you guys are winning all the other games. As
right.
Well.
Touche. And here's the deal. I mean, it was a good game. It stressed me out. But nothing can surpass the running of DK Metcalf chasing down Buda Baker. And Buda Baker, again, a former Husky. But seeing DK take that stride all down. I mean, that was one of those memes now that we will see forever. That meme will resurface on every sports or any kind of debate, any kind of news. Huh?
Oh, no, go ahead. I was going to say, did you see Buda Baker's on commentary about DK running him down, what he said?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah,
he wasn't expecting that guy. He's like, he got me.
He said no one's ever chased him down before. DK is a beast, man.
Yeah, he for 22 is, years of age, beast. He looked like a grown man on the field.
And he's twice the size of Buda, too.
I know. To be
can you imagine running?
That's what I'm like.
They said he was running 22 miles an hour, over 22 miles an hour. Yeah. He's 6'4", 6'5", like two. That's a lot of man to be running 22 miles an hour. I mean.
Had to be 22 years of age. That's what I'm like, and he's young? What?
Oh, he's young,
like,
yeah.
He's young, and big, and look like a grown man out there. So, yeah. That was probably the play of the week. I thought that was an awesome play, but like I said,
great play.
You guys had opportunities to win that game. I picked you guys, and it just was a huge disappointment because I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't even expecting it to get as close as it did.
Well, I knew it would be close. I knew it would be close. Our defense is terrible. We still have Jamal Anderson still isn't back. I'm waiting for him. However, we did just acquire Carlos Dunlap, too, so I'm excited for that. That's going to definitely bring something back. But we need Adams. We need Adams.
Yeah, you do.
He was outstanding in those first few games for us. I mean, he was worth, I think, every penny or trade that we made.
Here's a question, Mel. So you're a Seahawks fan. When they won the Super Bowl, it was mostly on the defense. It was that Legion of Boom. Yeah, it was all those big guys. And then it was Russell Wilson practically by himself winning the games for offensively. What do you prefer, that Legion of Boom team where the defense was the star of the game, or the Seahawks where you're talking about the defense and Ken Norton Jr. is the most hated man in Seattle, and but you got one of the best offenses in the league? What do you prefer?
Well, the thing is that Russell is, even prior to Super Bowl, Russell's been good. Like, just no one's giving him credit. No one's taking
credit. Great. He's one of the top two quarterbacks in the league.
But right. Won't get the MVP nod at
but
all.
I'm saying, like, but no one's been able to, no one's focused on that until now, and we have no defense. He's been doing what he's doing now back then. He just has some other targets, you know, before it was like Baldwin, and it was, you know, we had different targets back then, but now it's like, we still have a good core defense. Bobby's there. KJ Wright. Bruce Irvin came back. I mean, we've got people there. It's just the pieces aren't working. You know, a lot of, you know, our safeties, our corners aren't as good as they were back in the Legion of Boom days. That's part of the problem. Our coverage, you know, our guys in the backfield are having to, you know, like, I saw Bobby Wagner hit like three tackles on guys on wide receivers because corners or safeties or whatever had not picked them up. I mean, Bobby Wagner's hitting these guys as the first hit. That should be like your second hit right now at some point. I can't say I prefer this. I think.
Oh, yeah. That wasn't your answer? You're just now answering the question?
No, I'm saying I have
an answer. I'm teasing because your explanation was so long.
Calm down, ladies. Calm down, ladies. No fight. No fight.
I don't know what I'm fighting. I just teasing.
We just spent 30 minutes on the Dodgers. I can have 5 minutes on my Seahawks.
Oh, absolutely.
Hey, that's why we can't let a show go by where we don't talk about the Seahawks. But that's what we're talking about. About because she's got to explain herself because she was a no-show on Facebook. I'm sure people were looking for her. For
I was on there. I just logged off at the end.
But that's why I wanted to toss that softball to
right. Well, that's what I mean, here's the deal. You want to have both. You know, defense wins championships. Hence why we have one. But you can't win if you don't have defense. You see how Russell could be great, but he'll never be great with a defense that's not covering, and they're still scoring the same amount of points as you. I mean, we were going back. We were up most of the game. We were within 7 points, 3 points. You know, you can't play like that and get into a championship. And not only that, but then we've got Tampa. You know, as far as NFC goes, we're going to have to go against a Tampa or a Green Bay or a New Orleans. And those are teams that if we can't play defense on, we're not going to ever get to another Super Bowl. So hopefully they'll continue to work on this defense the next couple weeks. Hopefully Jamal Adams gets back. But yeah, let Russ cook still needs to happen. My only issue with the let Russ cook movement is that I've seen a lot of Russell get caught up, you know, by defenders, and he's not moving his feet anymore. Like, he used to just get his feet and run and skedaddle.
Yeah, I noticed he wasn't scrambling.
And he's not doing that anymore.
And I was like, wait a minute, where's his scramble action?
And so that's my thing is – and that's the thing is that they need to be able, he needs to realize that he's got to take those opportunities still because he's got them. He still has those feet. He can still scramble and run. We saw him do it all the time, and he's sliding, so he's not getting tackled or getting hit hard. He's getting hit harder by taking these sacks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. Yeah. That's now, a game changer too.
Hey, nowadays, guys, they slide and they still get hit. Ask Andy Dalton.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, the other issue for us too is our running backs. Our running backs can't stay healthy. Last year we had our 4-string running back when it got to the playoffs. This year we're already down Chris Carson.
Yeah, that's it. Chris Carson.
I got injured. We're not sure if he'll play this week. And then we're left to a rookie, DJ Dallas. I think that's Dallas. I know DJ. I think it is. Anyways, he now is there. We got Travis Homer still, but we don't have Marshawn Lynch. We're not playing back in the, you know, beast mode days when that was helping us win championships.
Yeah.
Or championship, no S.
So you're saying
should have been two. Should have been two.
It really should have been two. I mean, that was just robbery there. That was a crazy. I'm surprised Pete Carroll still has a job off.
No, so.
But anyway.
So there you got Carroll in the NFL and you got Cash in the MLB costing their teams with key mistakes, right?
And still having jobs. So, not like they're going to get rid of them.
Yeah, as long as they make the playoffs and make it to a couple of games in.
I think we've made the playoffs every year but one since then. So, you can't deny that. It's a great team. It's a great, you know, league.
And in that division.
Yeah.
Listen.
That division's crazy good.
And the Rams are coming back. I mean, Arizona's doing great. Frisco started getting traction again. Like, here we are. I think there was a meme I saw that was like the NFC West has lost 8 games total. The NFC East has won 7 games total.
Yeah.
True. It's crazy.
That's the issue with the alignments. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, you got to find a way to get Dallas out of the East. And
right.
It's something out of there. It's
they're not number one anymore after the Eagles took over.
Yeah. The Eagles.
They're 2-4-1. Whatever the heck their stats are.
It's like they're both bad, but this one's worse. So we'll put this one at number one. But yeah, no, that's like my favorite rivalries in all sports in a division are the AFC West. Raiders, Chargers, Chiefs, Broncos, in my opinion, those four teams, whenever they face each other, amazing rivalries.
It is.
But in talking about competition, the NFC West, that's crazy good this year.
I mean, what people don't realize, too, is that Arizona, before they were even good when they were bad, they were still our kryptonite. We've lost to the Arizona when they sucked. Before playoff, it's always like, you know, we play them twice a year. The one game that's right before the end of the year, we usually lose that game no matter what. Like, Arizona has our number for some reason. And so, you know, I kind of knew this was going to be a really close game. I didn't expect to lose necessarily, but I knew it was going to be close because they always have our number. For some reason, it's always Arizona. We get the L from them at some point throughout the year, and it's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was terrible. I mean, it had me stressed out. I was kind of mad at the end of the day. I was happy about, you know, the game, but watching that one.
I was mad. I literally had to take a timeout.
No, because I just assumed Seattle.
Well, and just like Jamal Adams was tweeting, I'm a sore loser. Like, I don't want to lose. And it's not like, okay, yeah, we're 5-1, but I still don't want that one loss. Like, I don't want
it. We would love to see an undefeated team out of the NFC, but this is proving my theory time and time again that the AFC is a stronger team. The AFC is that division itself just has so many juggernauts. I mean,
well, the AFC the Steelers could still be undefeated because the AFC is not.
Well, I mean, you've got Bucks, you've got Bills, you've got quite a few.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I don't know.
You can't. It's hard to be undefeated when there's great competition. So. That could be a debate for later, another time.
Yeah.
Next show. Harry, do you want to join us for our picks?
Our pick-ems.
Sure. Sure, I got no problem with that. Okay. Can I get bragging rights or what are we betting on these?
We don't bet. It's just to kind of, I guess, bragging rights at the end.
Right now, I won last week, Mo, 3-2 out of the ones that we didn't choose the same. You had picked, you picked Tampa, but I picked the Chargers or the Chargers. No, the Rams.
Tampa's won.
Yeah, I know, but I had picked the Chargers. You didn't pick the Chargers. I picked the Browns, of course. You didn't pick the Browns.
I didn't pick the Browns. Mm-mm. And then who else did I lose on?
And you picked the Niners. I didn't pick them.
And I picked Seattle.
Yeah.
So I lost four. Seattle.
And then you picked Tampa. So that was
Tampa
good.
Won. Oh, okay, I know. Yeah. No, I need you to cite the losses. Like, I need to know which ones I lost. So I lost four? Is that what you're saying?
No, you lost. Well, I didn't count the losses. I didn't count the ones that we all picked the same.
Gotcha.
We all lost to the Cardinals. You lost to the, But anyways.
Gotcha.
So.
Okay.
I trust you, Mel.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I believe it.
I was trying to figure it out because my work pick-ems, I lost only one team.
Well,
because
you always pick different teams sometimes in your work pick-ems.
Well, I go later like you're making on in the money. Week.
Yeah.
Well, that, and then it's later on in the week and news develops and just things I research a little better to go off the fly is just a little different, but we'll try it this week and see what I can do.
Yeah.
Nice.
I don't know who picks these Thursday night games because it's starting to be a little bit too much, but we've got the Falcons at Carolina.
I said I'd never pick the Atlanta Falcons again in life. So I'm going with the Panthers, but in my gut, it's telling me that Atlanta will win this game.
I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think, I know Christian McCaffrey went back to practice this week. No, he practiced this week. So I don't know what that means. He was at practice this week.
Well, even still, they won their last week game too.
And they're doing good.
They're doing really good. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if he's in or out. So
Teddy's holding down. Harry. Yeah.
Teddy's getting more time in that offense. So he's feeling more comfortable. I'm going with Teddy Bridgewater and the Panthers.
All right, Harry. Pittsburgh at Baltimore. And we know that Baltimore just picked up Dez. I know he's not going to be able to play this weekend because they got to go through the whole time frames. But this is going to be...
I'm rolling with the Steelers. I'm looking at it like this. I like
Lamar
Jackson. Wait, you're over the Steelers and you're going with the Steelers?
No. I'm over Atlanta. I'm going with the Steelers. Okay. I said Atlanta I'd never pick again, but I have a sneaking suspicion they'd win tonight, tomorrow night. But I'm going with Pittsburgh on this. I think they're going to go 7-0 because I look at Lamar Jackson as this one-trick pony with his run game, and he needs to do more vertical passes and his passing rating. I need to see more on that end from him. And Pittsburgh's defense is ridiculous. I watched that game on Sunday. There's no stopping their defense. And I don't know what that's going to do against a Baltimore offense.
Baltimore is just coming off a bye week and they're at home. So I'm kind of rolling with Baltimore on this.
Okay.
Harry?
So I never thought I'd ever see a player with the last name Watt be better than JJ. But his brother TJ is looking amazing and he's been ridiculously good. And they could have whooped Tennessee, but the Titans gave him hell at the end.
They did.
So I feel that the Titans are a way better team than the Ravens, so I'm going with the Steelers.
Okay. All right. We've got the Rams at Miami.
Here's the deal.
Tua time.
Here's the deal. It's Tua time.
You and Mike Dixon, right?
Miami's 3-3 like our Raiders.
Dolphin, huh?
Miami's 3-3. I don't think Tua can do it. I think they needed to keep Fitzy in. I don't think they should have cut him.
The Rams are just pretty. I mean, here's the deal. The NFC West is just pretty dominant. The only issue that factors in is them having to fly to Miami to take part in the game.
I don't think that's going to matter for Sean. Did you see how they picked apart Chicago? But just being Sean McVay as a coach, if you're going to go for coach, I'm going with McVay, I think, on that.
Yeah,
and I feel it's going to be a little bit different playing against Nick Foles and playing against Tua Tagovailoa.
Right,
so.
Right.
But still, I'm rolling with the Rams.
Yeah, okay. I'm Rams too.
Okay. The Jets at the Chiefs.
Come on, really?
That's easy.
I mean,
you got to pick another game. I mean,
I'm just going through them all. That's all. We
do all of them, Harry. We pick
Okay. I thought it was only these. All right. No, Chiefs.
All right. Vikings at the Packers.
Who is it?
Vikings at the Packers.
Oh, I'm taking Green Bay. I'm going to roll with them.
What Aaron shows up some days, you know?
Aaron knows his mistake from Tampa Bay. I'm rolling with Green Bay.
Yeah.
Hey, but Showtime Jones might not play, though. Coach was talking about not him wanting to give him another week of rest before letting him lose. So even though Aaron Jones ain't playing for the Packers, I'm going with the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, the Vikings haven't been as great as I've seen before. So I think I'm also going to go. So we can all just go with that one. It's hard right now. Like, I feel like Aaron Rodgers gets to these points in time where you're like, is this still the same guy that we should, you know, that.
I mean, every quarterback has a bad game here and there. And for Rodgers, it happened against Tampa Bay. So I got to keep rolling with him. And plus, it's Kirk Cousins. It's the Vikings. You can't trust them to be consistent. Yeah. But the days that he shows up, he's great.
And it's any given Sunday. I mean, we saw this past Sunday how close, like there were 7 games that were down to the wire. I mean, it really can happen at any point. Who knows, right?
Yeah, I'd rather roll with Rodgers.
Yeah, I'm rolling with Rodgers.
The Colts at Detroit.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one.
I'm only going to roll with the Lions because
that's not an easy pick.
It's not. But I have a fantasy. I got Galladay, so I need him to get some points. So I'm going to roll.
Hopefully Kenny Galladay does the right thing.
What you got, Mo?
I don't know. That's a tough one. I'm going to go with Colts on this. I'm just going to see what it does.
Yeah.
I'm going with Detroit after that big win against Atlanta. They got the momentum on their side, and they believe they're good. So
okay.
Yeah. Even though the Colts with Phillip Rivers, they've been decent.
Yeah, they have been. I was like, ooh, that's a tough one because it's such a tough matchup on that one. But yeah.
Okay, so Raiders in Cleveland.
I'm going with my Raiders. I'm going with my Raiders. Raider Nation all day on that.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with the Browns.
Of course. Go for it. She loves Baker. And she is always a hater. She only picks the Raiders when she knows we're going to lose. She picked the Raiders when we were playing Tampa Bay knowing good and well. She does it when she knows.
You pick him, baby, because like I'm going to vote against because then we'll win. I just said I'm going to vote. I was rooting for the Raiders.
That's but sometimes all. We go in unison with each other on our picks.
Nice.
And so for this time, she decided to go Raiders.
Well, it's my
Raiders on this one. Against the Raiders. Against the Raiders. She basically did the Raiders against the Raiders.
I always pick the Browns. I've been picking the Browns for the last 3 weeks, win or lose. We can pull the film up for that
Man,
one.
I got Jarvis Landry and Nick Chubb on my fantasy. It can't go wrong. What's the worst that can happen? I'm still going to pick my Raiders, you know?
Nick Chubb getting hurt?
Yeah.
That's the worst that can happen?
That's the worst that can happen, yeah. And he's been there before.
Add him to the list. Add him to the running game.
He's been there before.
Tennessee is Cincinnati.
Dude, that's a tough one, too.
They don't got a defense. They don't have a defense.
I'm going to take the Titans on that one.
I got to go with
Titans. I'm going Tennessee as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Titans on Patriots at Buffalo. What's going on with Cam?
Okay, so people are saying don't blame COVID on Cam's behavior, but we have to blame COVID because you don't know what the lingering effects of COVID. And I told you last week I wasn't picking New England because it's post-COVID Cam.
Yeah.
We don't know what people's physicality is going to be after coming off of a severe illness like that. So again, and they benched him in the middle of the game. So
he had three interceptions too.
Well, he's probably not even going to start this week. They may go with the backup. And if they go with the backup, then that changes some things. But I'm still going to roll with Tennessee. They're on a roll. I'm just going to. Derrick Henry might do another 97-yard rushing. Let's see.
I feel like Bill needs to be in that quarterback pool just trying. You know, Bill's going to pull somebody out of his bag real quick. And we're all going to be like, what? It's a Bill Belichick move.
The next Garoppolo.
He's going to need somebody else. He's got to get somebody else. I mean, this is not going to carry.
Nah, but I'm gonna go with Buffalo in this one. It's at Buffalo, right?
Yep.
No. Oh, yeah, Buffalo.
Uh-huh.
So I have a feeling it's going to be super cold, and Cam ain't going to like that. So give me the Bills.
Yeah, I'm going to roll with Buffalo.
I thought it was Titans in New England. It's not Titans? You said Titans.
No, Tennessee was at Cincinnati. Now it's Patriots and Buffalo.
Oh, Patriots and Buffalo. Yeah, Bills on that for sure. I have to go with that.
Chargers at Denver. I feel bad for the Denver Broncos.
Ooh, AFC divisional game.
A tie.
Stand either one of them. I can't
stand. I'm going to go with the Chargers just because I feel like I love Justin Herbert, man. I don't know what this kid, I hate him as a duck, but this guy is just great. And I wish the team would just find the momentum to stick with him because he is legit. This little rookie is legit.
Kid is looking good.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but Chargers. Or, well, write it down as Chokers.
Chokers. Right. Got it.
I'll take the Bolts too because I just can't stand the Donkeys. That's just where I'm at.
I can't stand either of them.
Can't stand either one of them, but I'll take the Bolts because I like their head coach, former UNLV guy. I mean, we'll roll with that. So, you know.
That's why at first I said tie. I don't want to pick you.
But you got to pick one, Harry. So I'm glad you did.
We got Frisco at Seattle this Sunday. I'm nervous for this game.
Oh, man.
Here's the deal.
Again.
I'm going to roll with, I mean, of course, I'm going to roll with me, but I feel Sierra's birthday is over with. They're at home. They've had a good week. Hopefully they made some adjustments to defense, even though they can't really put in the new guy yet. And I'm hoping that we get Jamal. I don't think Jamal's going to be back this weekend, but I'm hoping maybe he surprises us. I feel like his injury was more serious, obviously, than we already thought it was. I mean, he's gone since week three. So this is just a lot, but.
Well, I think they don't want to be embarrassed anymore like they did against that game against the Cardinals. So they're going to come back for a revenge game. So I think.
Yeah, Russell's not going to be.
He's not going to be embarrassed twice. He's not going to get sacked as many times as he is. He's definitely not going to be throwing picks like he
is. And do you know who we had on his podcast yesterday? He had Joe Montana, too. So that.
Oh, the winningest quarterback who's won never lost a Super Bowl. So that's going to be great luck for him.
Right.
That's going to be great luck. The man has never lost a Super Bowl. So yeah, you want a Joe Montana. So yeah. I'm going to go with Harry.
Give me Seattle. I'm on your side, Mel.
I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, when she's not on our side, but that's okay.
If it was any other team but the Browns or me.
I get it. The Saints are typically my second team, but I go off of, you know, whatever, you know.
Speaking of which, the Saints at Chicago. There's a lot of cold games.
Oh, man. I'm going to go.
You said Saints against Chicago?
Yeah.
New Orleans.
Yeah.
I mean, after seeing what happened on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, they were just. And I don't think they'd come back from that.
They've had a good, but they were doing good up until this.
But that's Chicago. They always do good. And what's the question on Khalil Mack? What's going on with him right now?
No, but not Mack can't score touchdowns like he used to.
No, he's the old Mack. That's what I'm saying. What kind of Khalil Mack are we having here?
If you don't, if Foles isn't producing, it's the same as if you had Mitch Trubisky on the field.
Right.
So. I ain't gonna pick Chicago, even though I love Chicago. Much love to my boy Roy Robertson Harris there and Khalil Mack, but I can't pick you guys.
Yeah, I love Khalil. You know, he'll always be a Raider in my book, but definitely Saints is my second team. So we're going with Who Dat Nation.
I'm gonna roll with the Saints too. We got Cowboys at Philly. You know, I can't root.
I'm gonna go with the Eagles on that. I'm sorry, Cowboys might as well be with Pitts. Be with the Patriots in a van down by the river.
And here's the deal. I've got Amari Cooper on my fantasy, but now you're having a third string quarterback come out here to lead your team.
Well, you need to bench him and get somebody else.
I already did. I mean, okay. But you know, usually Amari is good for easy 18, 19 points every week. You know, no matter who's quarterback, no matter how bad it is, he's going to get something. But yeah.
Well, I don't trust it with this third string because I feel like it's open trials for any Cowboy fans like Snoop Dogg's post, Red. If you're wearing a Dallas jersey in a Dallas area, show up to this park at 1 o'clock. Let's see what you can do because that's where they're at right now.
Harry, who you got?
Yeah.
I got the Eagles.
Right. Yeah, unfortunately or fortunately, because I can't stand the Cowboys. I think this is a big karma thing for Jerry Jones, so I'm just kind of loving it.
So here's
the
deal.
I hate what happened to Dak, but, you know.
I used to live in Texas, and over there, it's you either love the Cowboys or you hate them. Right. But I'm a Raider fan from L.A., so I don't give a damn about the Cowboys. Okay. So I'm like,
there we go.
I'm like, I don't care about those guys.
Right.
We all don't. Welcome to the club. We all are happy to hate on the Cowboys. Yeah, the last game, I don't even need to ask you, but I'll just mention that it's Tampa Bay at New York Giants. So
Tampa Bay and debut is, what you call it? AB is debuting this week, right? Or no? It
doesn't matter. They're playing the Giants.
True that, but it's just a debut for AB. I'm just interested to see how he's going to do.
Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah. He's there.
Yeah. So.
Who picked Tampa this Bay. Game for Monday Night Football? My God.
I mean, terrible game.
At the beginning of the season, you had Saquon Barkley. You had, I mean, no matter what, there was still
you had Saquon Barkley and Saquon Barkley and
Saquon Barkley. And you had Saquon Barkley last season, and look where they were at. So it doesn't matter. You had a black cat that was more of the feature than a doggone Saquon Barkley, sadly. And this time it's the watch of the year or the night because it's going to be an AB. If it's an AB debut, then the ratings are going to be ridiculous because they want to see AB and see what he's going to do. But I'm going to go with Tampa Bay.
Well, there's no more baseball on either to compete with it. So now it's like the only football.
Yeah.
So ladies, what's the over under in your opinion on time before AB screws up again?
2 days. I give him 3. I give him 3 weeks.
Yeah, so I set mine at like if I were the casino, I would have said 3.5. That's like a good
one.
Like 3 games, like he'll find somewhere to screw up and then they'll just release him and cut him. But I can't see him finishing the season with the Bucks or with any team. So
he just needs to like just cut his
boxes, just want him to go away.
Find some good, you know, entertainment, be, you know.
I don't even want to see him. After what he did to my team or our team, Harry, I don't even want to see this guy. Like, I don't even care.
And all the stuff he got accused of doing, I mean, it was crazy. And then the worst part was, like, it was all crazy, and then he got hired last year, and then he screwed up again. And it's like, come on, dude. It's like you got a second chance or, a third chance, and you still figured out a way to screw it up. So.
Yeah. Well, Brady wants him, and they work together. And, you know, it goes back to when they were in New England. You know, Brady never took his eyes off of him. And so maybe it's just that stipulation.
For 10 days. For 10 days, Mo. They were together for 10 days.
10 days for an impression to have Brady make that call.
You know, Tom, you know, the TB12 momentum.
Yeah. Like, he wants really him. He likes what he likes. He's like diamond in the rough. He's my bizarro me, I guess, if you will. So he wants him. Right. We'll see. And
it's crazy how – so that's what I was on the radio today with the Jesus Lopez, the Golden Knights play-by-play guy on his radio show. And I was like, Brady chose the Bucks because they were so ready. They were only missing one piece, and it was the quarterback end. Mm-hmm. They got an amazing defense with studs all around on the line and the linebacking crew. Cornerbacks, they're okay. But then you go with the wide receiver core they have, and then you add AB and
it's just built for the greatness.
And then they got Rojo, the running back, Jones, the second. And then they add Leonard Fournette to that.
Right, Fournette, who did really good with our Raiders. I mean, he got some yards in. I mean, they were no joke.
They ain't playing. I'm just mad they're in the NFC.
Yeah. The thing of it is, and I feel bad, shout out to Guru because he was expressing how he doesn't like this Tampa Bay team now because there's a whole bunch of rock stars and that's gone Hollywood.
But it happened.
It happens. And welcome to how I feel with the Lakers when LeBron came over. You're going to have the LeBron fans strictly as a Laker. He's seeing the only Tom Brady fans that are coming now infiltrating into Tampa Bay. It is what it is. If you guys get a championship, you're not going to say nothing. You're going to be just sitting right there being happy.
But to be honest, like, I even liked the Lakers when we were Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, D'Angelo Russell.
I didn't like Lonzo on our team, Harry. I didn't like Lonzo.
But we picked him. He was our guy. We drafted him. He was our guy. And then when we traded everyone and their brothers and their sisters and their mamas to get LeBron, and then it became LeBron James picking his teammates. And then the next year he brought AD. I love Anthony Davis, but I'm like, this is a LeBron show. It's not the Lake show anymore. It's a LeBron show, and it's he's the star player, the head coach, the general manager, and practically the owner. He does whatever he wants to do, and that's the reason why I'm like,
Is that why you've left us a little bit?
So no, I'm still a Laker fan. Like, I like the Lakers, but I'm not passionate with the Lakers anymore.
Okay.
Like, in the past, Kobe, he was my guy. I got to see him from the day he got drafted until the day he retired, and rest in peace. It hit me hard. Heck, I got a sticker of him around here. Number eight.
Love it.
So he's my guy in my jersey collection. Lakers, I got Kobe. And then I got Andrew Bynum, Pau Gasol, and Magic Johnson. And that's like, those teams were the teams that made me happy when I was young and watching championships. Then Kobe retired, and it was like a decade of not winning anything. But then they were in the finals this year, and I didn't even feel a connection with that team.
Wow. No, I did. I wanted a championship. I wanted us to
tie. That happens with sometimes with your sports.
But it does.
You can kind of fall in and out of love.
The fact that you're still purple and gold is all good. Do you agree with me, though, that the Clippers will always be the Clippers and they may never win?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, the Clippers will be they can go to San Diego or Anaheim or somewhere else. They'll never be LA's team. And LA is
never.
And here's another one. It's a hot take that some people will get pissed off at. The Rams and the Chargers, they'll never be LA's team.
The Raiders are the LA team. Let's be clear.
Exactly.
Excuse me. They haven't even sold out their PSLs for either franchise. You still got Ram PSLs available and Charger PSLs. You're on the way to the Raider ones.
Well, no one's ready to go because there's no season. There's no fans this year.
I mean,
no, but the
still,
day,
you knew SoFi was coming.
The day the Raiders play against the Rams or the Chargers at SoFi, it's going to be a sellout, and it's going to be 80% Raider fans at least. 80% at least.
That's the LA market.
And that, I got friends who are pissed off who are Rams fans that are like, oh, why do you say that? I'm like, because it's the truth.
It's the
truth. That's how the Chargers games were even in San Diego. It'll be the same in LA too.
It's the same.
The visiting team will always dominate a Chargers game.
That's why they didn't want the Raiders to come. You know, it was initiated at first for the Chargers to come to Vegas. They didn't want it because they knew the Rams market was going to have to compete with the Raiders. It's going to be like the Lakers all over again, and the Rams are going to be roommates. You know, and they want to be top dog. So, but they'll never be top dog. It is a Raiders city. LA is, and that's just what it is. So you're not going to see it.
The best part is Raider Nation is not from Oakland, and it's not from LA. It's not from Vegas. It's worldwide.
It is.
We're all brothers and sisters, and we all support each other. So that's Raider Nation.
That's
Raider Nation.
Say that.
The 12s are cool too, though.
I mean, but shout out to my Huskies. The Pac-12 is finally coming back this weekend after a long, long break. This Saturday, my Huskies take on Cal at Cal. So I'm just excited to have college football because I usually don't start watching until my Huskies are playing. I watched a couple games over the last couple weekends, but I'm amped the Pac-12 is back because that's home. That's West Coast. That's what, you know, that's where I've been. So I'm excited for that. Any other departing news from anybody before we wrap up because we've gone a little extra, but hey, good conversation.
No, we had a good time, but we never get someone like Harry on, and I need a fellow Dodger or Raider. We wanted to talk about this, and it was conveniently the right time, the right moment with our birthdays and with us having dual championships in the same year. So,
happy.
No, and you guys know it's all love for you ladies. You guys are awesome at what you do, and it was always great working with you. And I delayed being invited to the show because I had nothing going on in this aspect. And when you told me, it's like, hey, let's talk about the Dodgers and about the Raiders and what's going on with that. I'm like, okay, when I'm not the story, then it's okay. I'm I'm cool coming on board and chatting with you guys. So
yeah, I get it. I
we
get
appreciate
it.
He didn't
want to come in on that tea time when we were on the other thing. Yeah. He wants to come in when he's got his own stuff going. I see what it was.
No, it's quite the opposite. When it's not about me, I'm cool about it. But
okay.
I'm never the story. I'm not the story. You guys are the story, and everything we're talking about is a story. And fortunately, it was to talk about our Dodgers winning the World Series.
Yes. I mean, I just can't believe it. It's so surreal. I just want to pop bottles. Like I say, I was going to save this for Lakers, but I was like, nope, let me wait till these Dodgers do something. And they did. And I got to celebrate in my home, do a TikTok or something.
Well, make sure everybody goes out there, look up Instagram, follow Harry_Ruiz, check out our guy Harry. Let's get some likes on those posts so that we can see these footage that we've been hinted to. We'd like to see what's going on behind the lens of you, Harry. So
absolutely.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Absolutely, ladies.
We missed your face. We can't wait to listen to some of your guys' coverage there on Deportes Vegas. Again, 14:60 a.m. here in Las Vegas, 9:80 out in L.A. and some other cities throughout.
Yeah, all up and down through California, or just check my Twitter. I always post the link on social media the day of the game.
Sounds most good. Most hyped
about our Dodgers.
It's all about that LA, telling you.
Congrats to all the Dodger fans out there.
I got the heads up that LIDS tomorrow out here in Vegas is going to start getting Dodgers World Series Championship.
Oh, yeah, merch. I saw that online. So you already know I'm on it because I got my Lakers merch when they won.
But in person, in the stores out here. So tomorrow.
Oh, okay.
So just get there like 30 minutes later because I'm going to go as the doors open to try to get my stuff and then you guys can get everything else.
Wait, which location are you going to? Which location are you going to?
It's South Las Vegas Boulevard.
Oh, you're going to be on the strip at a fashion show?
No. South Las Vegas Boulevard, the outlet store.
Oh, the outlet. Okay.
The LIDS locker room.
And over at fashion show too, so I'll be at that one.
Hey, if you find anything interesting, text me and I'll head out that way too. I don't like going to the strip.
I understand, but I work over there. They're like my neighbors from my store. So it's like I just kind of trot in. But yo, they got the Lakers jerseys in there. They got the Kobe Bryant 8s in there now.
Yeah, the Mitchell and Nessus.
Yeah, probably for 300. Yeah, but they got them just in case anybody wanted to get Mamba.
I got
my one. So I was like, I can't get it anymore.
Yeah, I didn't pay 300 for mine. Sorry, ladies.
Me neither.
We're getting out of control.
Harry, when the Lakers talk, I tuned out.
So. Well, she got purple and gold on. She can relate.
I try on occasion. But anyways, again, Harry, thank you. We appreciate you. We'll definitely have to get you back on maybe towards the end of the season, seeing how the Raiders go.
Definitely.
And
when the Raiders win the Super Bowl, I'll come back again.
Oh, yes. I would love that. Yes, absolutely.
Hopefully in February.
Man, talk about it. Put it out there.
Maybe next February. Hey.
Raiders Seahawks,
or you know, the Raiders could win, could go to Super Bowl and actually hold it here.
No, I want
it to be the hype. And who knows? You never know what players, knock on wood, or teams just start crapping out. This is a COVID 2020 of NFL. Anything's possible.
It seems like we already know how to screw up, so we are not going to do that anymore.
Exactly.
Let everybody else do it.
All right,
have a great night, ladies.
Leave now. We appreciate everybody checking out. Remember, every Wednesday, 7 p.m. Pacific time. Make sure you share, subscribe, follow us, Twitter, YouTube, Facebook. Join the Facebook group as well. We appreciate y'all.
Yes.
Thank you.
LA.
Bye.
How about this?